There is an old traditional Catholic saying that's been around for centuries, though no one knows the original author. But it's always been believed, it's been regarded as largely true. The saying is this: if a priest is a saint, his people will be holy. If a priest is holy, his people will be good. If a priest is good, his people will be decent. If a priest is decent, his people will be mediocre. If a priest is mediocre, his people will be bad. And it's always ended with the challenge, the encouragement to pray for priests. Yesterday was the feast day of St. John Vianney, the patron saint of parish priests. And he said, a priest's fervor is entirely dependent upon one thing: his celebration of the Mass. And you can read stories of people who would attend Father John Vianney's Masses, and they said, you've never seen anything like it. He said, the reason why a priest becomes lax is because he is not attentive to his own celebration of the Mass. And he says, my God, how we ought to pity a priest who celebrates Mass as if he were engaged in something routine. One of the most formative experiences that I had in my years in the seminary was in my last year. I was sent back to Rome to finish a degree, and I was a deacon at the time. So every man who is ordained a priest is ordained a deacon about a year in advance. And so one Thursday afternoon, I get a phone call from a good priest friend of mine who worked in Rome, and he says, Jeremy, he says, are you in town this weekend? And I said, yeah, I plan on working on my thesis, I'll be around. He says, would you like to be the deacon for the Pope's Mass on Sunday? And I did what you just said. I started laughing, like, oh, you know, funny, yeah, right. He said, no, really, would you like to be the deacon for the Holy Father? He had worked for the Congregation of the Doctrine of Faith for a number of years, had a connection. So there I go, Sunday morning, I show up early to St. Peter's Basilica, and I'm there getting vested. And it's the beginning of a consistory. Almost every cardinal in the world was present for that Mass. So there I am, I'm getting vested, there, all the cardinals, hundreds of bishops, priests from all over. The procession, so St. Peter's Basilica is 3 football fields long. The procession with nearly 1,000 priests took over 20 minutes. As I'm getting vested, all of a sudden it hits me that because I am the deacon for the Mass, I'll be processing in next to Pope Benedict. And so I start to get excited because I realize he's going to come out of the door any minute for the procession, and I'm going to have the chance to talk to him. It's about 15 minutes before Mass starts, and the minutes start ticking by. And I'm starting to think, like, you know, gosh, what's he doing? I'm not even going to be able to say hi if he doesn't hurry up. So I go to the attendant, who's at the door into his private residence, and the door is slightly ajar, and I walk up and I said, where's the Holy Father? I'd like to at least say hello. I'd like to talk to him. And he looks at me and says, the Holy Father does not engage in conversation before Mass. He said, if you want to talk to him, you're going to have to wait till afterwards. He prepares himself for Mass by an hour of silent prayer. And I peered in through the slightly ajar door, and there was our 80-year-old Pope kneeling on the ground, preparing his heart to offer Mass. And my eyes welled with tears, and I thought, imagine if every priest in the world prepared for Mass that way. My brothers and sisters, what is true of priests is true of all the faithful. Our holiness, our virtue, our piety, our goodness is in direct proportion to our relationship with the Eucharist. If we are growing in holiness, what happens? We have more and more of a desire to be present in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We'll find ourselves making visits to the church, trying to receive our Lord as often as possible. What happens as we're decreasing in holiness? We just don't even have a desire. We might not even be getting to Mass every Sunday. Right? Holiness is directly proportional to our relationship with the Eucharist. And just recently I read this from Archbishop Fulton Sheen, and it struck me. I'd never heard this before. He says, the fall, the beginning of the fall of Judas, and the end of Judas both revolved around the Eucharist. And I thought, really, where's that from? He says, when is the first time that Scripture mentions the betrayal of Judas? He says it's in the Gospel of John chapter 6 when our Lord says, I am the bread of life. And it says many disciples at that time left him, though some remained who did not believe. And it says he knew those who would not believe, and he knew the one who would betray him. And Archbishop Fulton Sheen says we can conclude that at that moment Judas ceased to follow our Lord, at least in his heart, because he could not believe that he could become the bread of life, to give his flesh for the life of the world. And he said, when was his fall? He left the Last Supper early. It is not known whether he received Holy Communion there or not, but even if he did, he would have received unworthily because he did not believe. My brothers and sisters, there is a line in the Gospel today that is so easily overlooked because it's in the midst of our Lord talking about the bread of life, and it is this. The people ask him, what can we do to accomplish the work of God? And our Lord says, this is the work of God, that you believe. That you believe what? He says that in the midst of saying that I am the bread of life. My brothers and sisters, I want to close with a few ways that we can safeguard our belief in the Eucharist, in our belief in the Lord's true presence. For starters, when we enter a church, so we'll come through the vestibule, we'll bless ourselves with holy water. What is the first thing we ought to do when we walk in the doors of a church? We should look for the tabernacle. And why should we look for the tabernacle? Now, traditionally, the tabernacle has always been in the center of the church because our Lord's the center of our faith, so that we walk in, we don't have to look for him. But in the last 50 years, you now have to search sometimes. We should look for the tabernacle to acknowledge our Lord's presence. And we should genuflect when we walk in a church. And whether when we walk in right away or when we get to our pews to enter in, we should genuflect. Why does the church call for a genuflection? Now, many, many places, and I've got to say, I do not watch you when you walk in a church, so if you don't do this, I'm not pointing you out. But it's very common nowadays that people come into a church and they no longer genuflect. They'll come in and they might bow. Or they might do like a half genuflection or a curtsy or something. The church has genuflect because it entirely disposes your heart in a different way. Now, if you're not accustomed to genuflect, next time you come to church and you genuflect, you'll notice a difference. So when every time we come into a church and every time we leave a church, we should genuflect towards the Blessed Sacrament, towards the tabernacle. And I want to make it clear that it's towards the tabernacle. One time I was offering Mass, and I shouldn't have done this. Sometimes I ask questions that you actually shouldn't get a response to, rhetorical questions. And I said, when we genuflect, what do we genuflect toward? And I got all sorts of answers. We genuflect towards our Lord's true presence in the Blessed Sacrament. When we receive Holy Communion, what has the Bishop of the Diocese asked of us? He says we should make some sign of reverence. Whether that be a profound bow, whether that be a genuflection, or whether a person kneels down to receive our Lord, all of which are acceptable, but some sort of reverence should be made. Because we might be distracted, you know, we might have kids with us, whatever's going on, but when we come to receive him, at least in that moment, that sign of reverence will remind us of the importance of what we are about to do. Thirdly, I one time heard a religious sister say, and I didn't believe it at the time, but I do now, She said, if people would come to Mass 5 minutes early to prepare for Mass by prayer, and at the end of Mass, if they would kneel down for 5 minutes for Thanksgiving, their entire lives would change. A good priest friend of mine one time celebrated Mass in Lincoln, Nebraska. He's not a priest of that diocese. He was visiting a friend, and he said it blew him away. At the end of Mass, he kisses the altar, he processes out, and he can't wait to meet these parishioners from this other parish. The closing song is being sung. At the conclusion of the song, he's standing in the back of the church. He said every single person in the church got down on their knees for 5 minutes of silent prayer. One final thing. What is the greatest means of growing in devotion to the Holy Eucharist? It is to come and spend time with our Lord outside of Mass. If you're not doing that now, I challenge you to start with 5 minutes. Just to drop in the church. The church is open all day. To come sometime outside of Mass to spend time with our Lord. And hopefully that will lead to the point where at least one time a week you will come for an hour. We have the Blessed Sacrament exposed in the monstrance in our chapel from Monday morning after 8 a.m. Mass until Saturday morning before the 8:30 a.m. Mass. The graces that you will receive will be beyond your imagining, and your love for the Eucharist will grow like never before. Let's ask our Lord as we receive Him today for the grace to believe.